Here we are out in front of the high school gymnasium, and it is the final night show, the fourth day and long day and long convention. And we're here with Greg Bordner. Hey, Greg.
Hello. Hello.
I told you we were going to get together at the very end over here, and so it's I may not catch you later, but so far, comments, thoughts?
Oh, it's been a great convention. The house has been great. The shows have been great. We just have to make sure we can get through tonight. We got one more show to do.
And everything else has been really good.
Yes, there's been
a lot of good promotion and everything, you know, on this, like in the newspapers and everything.
Oh, yes. We've been on television in Kalamazoo, the BBC out of London.
Wow.
I forgot all the places
it's been advertised. It has been far and wide. That's true.
Yes, it's been wonderful. The house is packed tonight, and hopefully the weather will permit us to get through the show.
And it was reported to have like about 1,500 registrants, like the most ever?
Yeah, well, the gym holds 1,500 people. There was about over 700 registered conventioners.
Okay.
Yes, the most we've seen in a long time. It's been
that
wonderful.
So what have been some of the highlights? It's all a highlight to you, but I mean, just kind of a couple of things that just quickly come to mind.
Boy, just the quality of the shows.
Sure.
They've been so strong, and that's so important. The people, everybody's like the family reunion you want to go to.
Right.
Lots of fun. Everybody's happy to be here, and they all have a good time. It's hard to describe.
It was a very successful convention, and I know tonight is going to be the capper on the whole thing. I can hear the
thunder
rumbling in the background over here. That's true. But I think most people are already here, probably, aren't they?
I would think. With the weather like this,
limited parking. People try to get here early enough anyhow.
Oh, absolutely, to get as close as they can to the door. Next year, there'll be more parking, and it'll be more easy to get in and out of.
Sure.
All the doors will be accessible.
Right.
So this year, because of the construction, that did add a few problems, and it never goes without some kind of thing going on. Yes.
Well, it's great that you guys had also added the air conditioning into there as well.
Oh, yes. It has new air conditioning, which is very important in this kind of humidity. And, yes, it's been a great year all the way around.
Yep. And as the convention has been then as well. So, yeah, I really haven't seen any glitches. I mean, it's been something that's been a very, you know, laid-back and fun type of thing with magic happening throughout the village.
That's true. My team is so large, the Colon Lions Club, the Chamber of Commerce.
Kiwanis.
Them too.
Yeah.
Yes. I almost forgot them.
Yeah. They got a great hot dog deal.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I was there last 2 days for lunch.
Well, I whatever.
Yeah.
But then the backstage crew, Mark Holstein, wow, what a guy, you know, and Richard Hughes and Artie Kidwell, and wow, it just couldn't do without him. My family,
yes.
My son's been running the box office, my daughter's helped out. I mean, it just goes on and on.
I had a long conversation with Mark last evening, you know, talking about the stage manager and things that he's had done this year and over the past several years and all that. And
There's always lots of problems that we hope the public doesn't even know about. I'm really glad to know that you didn't see any problems at all.
No, we didn't. Yeah, I know. It's just like a swan across the stream. You know, you don't see them paddling feverishly underneath
the
waterline.
Smooth as silk.
That's right. Looks great on top. Yes.
Yeah.
Everything is. And this is the first time we've actually not seen the sun, you know.
Well, that's true. That's true. Well, we've been in the middle of a drought, so it is welcome relief as long as it's just rain.
Just a little bit of rain. And hopefully it will rain just while we're in the show. We'll come back out and it'll
be
nice
wonderful.
Again.
Oh, that would be wonderful,
yes. The fireworks were wonderful last night also.
Oh, yes, and those are weather permitting. You see, if it had done
that's
this
true.
Last night, we may not have had them.
So
that is also, there's a lot of factors out there.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky.
Is it the fire department? Who sponsors that? Who puts it
in? Actually, the chamber and a person called Sparkle. She has her own little committee.
Okay.
She sells a lot of things all year long to generate enough money to do this.
And they arrange that every year to be
she's
in conjunction
personal
with
friends with the fireworks company.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know it's about to start, and people are standing out here, and everybody's saying hello and welcome everything, and so I'm going to let you get to it, because got a few more minutes in order to be seen. Any last minute any words or anything? Just like see you next year?
You read my mind. August 7, 8, 9, 10.
It's going to be different next year, then.
Well, of course, it's the 76th.
Yeah, of course. There we go.
The only problem with that is it doesn't have that appeal as the 75th.
Yeah.
And there is a slight overlap with Magic Live.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always something.
Yes. Right. And then the St. Louis Midwest Magic Jubilee has, I think, adjusted theirs.
I hope.
I think that they're going to be like a week after that also.
That'd be good.
I believe they have. Seems like we've talked to Terry Richardson about that. I believe they were going to... pull that after Magic Live. Because Magic Live will be in between. So
I understand.
Everybody be cool.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. It's been great. Greg, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Sure.
Especially everything that you have done to make this 75th a success and the long history of your family and everybody else that's been involved with all this. So thank you for all you do for Magic and all the guys out there. I speak on behalf, hopefully, of the Magic community and thanking Greg Bordner.
Well,
thank you very much. Congratulations.
Very well. Thank you very well.
That was Greg. Scott Wells. Scotty out. For this next interview with Stan Allen, please pardon the background noise because we were outdoors sitting on a bench and the wind was blowing, and so you're going to hear a little bit of wind noise, but please bear with it. I think you'll enjoy the content with Stan Allen. Well, the fourth and final show of the 75th Colin Abbott's Magic Get-Together is finally over, and we're sitting here on the corner of Blackstone and State, just right across the street from Five Star Pizza and Papa Mancino's. And is that it? Yeah, I guess it is. And the Legion and everything. And here with Stan Allen. Hey, Stan.
Good morning.
It is. Wonderful morning and wonderful convention. A lot of fun. This is a different kind of convention. I think as you and I were talking, it's different from the standpoint, certainly, that there's not a lot of activities packed into it. It's something that gives you an opportunity to really get together and have some enjoyable conversations with each other.
Yes.
That wasn't a question.
That, aren't you?
That was not a question.
That was a statement. What am I supposed to say to that?
That's right. No, you're not. That's exactly right.
It is. It's a very social convention. People have been coming here for a zillion years. They enjoy the pace of it, and it's a different pace. We're not all in a hotel. We're all spread around the city. We come together. It's just a different... Well, I mean, they reference it as Brigadoon, but it's like the city comes to life for 4 days for Abbott's get-together, and I think the 75th was very typical of that.
Right. And this is, they call the Street of Cards, and you can see certainly that's the case, that it looks like people have been springing cards, you know, just into the street, so... the street is just full of cards. However, it's kind of interesting. But as for the convention and the shows that we have had, four full nights and a matinee this afternoon. Then I missed the matinee this afternoon. Tell me about that. How did that go? Was in it?
I don't know. I've never been to a matinee before, and I found myself hosting this one. We had a lot of people. We must have had 8 or 9 people, each doing about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple people did 10.
Oh.
So we did about 1 hour and 10 minutes. And
it was kind of like a vaudeville show almost.
It was, and it was a lot of comedy. It was all aimed at comedy for the most part. But Mike Caveney, Tim Wright, Carrie Pollack, myself doing a bit where Gene Anderson played into it, and Victor and Diamond, a guy named Ron Anderson from Long Beach Mystics.
Uh-huh.
So, we had fun.
And it was the Long Beach Mystics show. Is
well,
that kind of how it was built?
It was built in the spirit of the Long Beach Mystics. In other words, if Carrie Pollack, Tim Wright had been around Long Beach or Southern California, they certainly would have been a mystic because they had the Long Beach Mystic spirit. So it was about 4 or 5 Long Beach Mystics and our friends, a couple friends and guests, and also the contest winner, Matt Roberts, joined us.
It was Matt Roberts junior, or was he a senior?
He's senior.
Okay. Because I didn't know who all had won the contest. The junior cat. Now, they didn't have close-up contests, I don't think, at this time.
I didn't see any of them.
I didn't either. And this also was the first year that they tried the close-up with the stage conditions with basically almost a FISM, well, not a FISM-like, I guess, like I'm thinking back when Johnny S. Palmer had won, you know, they had him on the stage with the monitor and everything. That's the best, I guess, they could do in a situation like that rather than the competing way they've had it.
Well, close-up is always the bane of any convention organizer's existence. I mean, there is the weak spot right there. We certainly battle with it. I know others battle with it. It's just bottom line. Close-up magic is meant to be done in your hands.
Right.
And I used to always think it was great when people would come to the Magic Castle and they wouldn't talk about the big stage shows and they wouldn't talk about Irma or dinner or anything else. What they would talk about is they were standing in line for a show. The guy in front of them happened to be a member and he turned around and he did a trick with a little sponge ball in my hand. That's what close-up magic is like. Now you can build a close-up room like at the castle. What does it seat? 40 people?
Yeah.
50 people? Will you tell me how you do that with a convention? There's 700 people, so if you had a 50-seater, you know, you're going to have to do the show 14 times.
Right.
So I don't know what the answer is, you know, for a convention like this without going crazy with audiovisual and staging and everything else.
You know, one idea that I had some years ago, I thought it'd be kind of cool if you could hook up into the television closed cable circuit of the hotel, and so that way that everybody can see it in their rooms, and you would have the 30 or 40 people, as you normally would, who would be really good volunteers and a good audience who would laugh and everything, you know, whatever, like you see in some of the specials or whatever. I'm not saying they should be stooges or anything, but I just think it'd be kind of interesting. That way everybody can actually sit in their rooms and watch it rather than coming down, and they can watch the whole show.
The downside of that is, like, when the cruise ships started to have television in the rooms, hey, we don't want people in the rooms. We want them down in the public rooms drinking and gambling and socializing and having a good time. So I think from my standpoint as a convention organizer, you know, I wouldn't want that because I want people down, mingling, running into each other.
Good point.
Experiencing something they can't experience at home in front of their monitor or their television.
I can see that side of it then, too. And speaking of the Magic Live, I know that you've got... Is it not sold out yet, or have you still got...
No, oh, no, it's not. We have about, I guess, somewhere in the high 60s percentile sold. It sold very fast, of course, when we first opened. And, you know, these are our regular followers, and this is great. We're flattered. But now we haven't put out any information on it in a couple months here. We haven't announced the hotel yet, but that'll be out soon. And so now I think the first official production meeting is middle of August, August 16th, I think, is the first production meeting where we bring the team together. And they start hearing what crazy ideas has been bouncing around in my head for the last year. And they start saying, he's crazy, isn't he? He's actually, I think he's certifiable. We could take this over and just have him committed. And this is where, this will be a little different because we normally do not sit with the staff this early. But after the last one and the postmortem meetings afterwards, they all said the same thing. We have to know what's going on earlier. So we're gonna build the team. I'm really excited from the standpoint that we have more returning people on our staff this year than ever before. I think it's all but one person, and many of them will be doing the exact same jobs they did last year, so they know how to do them already. Sure. And we just should be.
You're not having to reinvent the wheel, obviously.
We don't reinvent the wheel, although we tend to reinvent the wheel anyway. But we're coming off some very strong things from last time. I think it was one of our better events. And, you know, we're very critical of our own events, but I think that was a pretty good one. So now we've got to go back and figure out ways to top it.
Yeah, what worked and how can we improve on what worked, basically, rather than saying let's do it again because it did work, but how can we improve what worked?
Yeah, we tend to ignore things that work and focus on things that didn't work and say, hey, we got to find a better way to do that.
Right.
So
now the reason that you opened it up last year after the registration was closed is because you moved it to a different hotel or different
No.
They opened more rooms, or what was the deal?
No, we started last year, and I was returning to the Orleans, and I hadn't been there in 3 years, 4 years. And the theater there, the beautiful theater, holds 824 people. And I said, yeah, I think it's in the 800 number. And plus they put chairs in. Will you put another extra 100 chairs in? So we're up in the 900-ish something number. And maybe we can get an extra 50 chairs and we can have 1,000 people. So besides, how many people are going to register the first day? Well, the first day goes nuts. You know, we do 375 people in the first day or something. Wow. We haven't even booked any presenters. That's a nice trumpet.
Wow.
So I call the hotel and say, how many extra chairs can we put in? And they said, what extra chairs? The extra chairs we always put in. They said, sorry, fire marshal says no extra chairs. You can have 824 people, not one person more.
Yeah, that's it.
So now we had to decide, do we close the convention off at 824? Which, when you put your speakers and everything in, that's 724.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we figured that out, we were over 500, 600 registrants already. So do you close it off, or do you double it up and do twice of everything, or is there an in-between answer? And while we were searching for those answers, we felt it best not to take any more money. So we closed it, and then once we got the answers, we reopened it, and kind of the rest is history. But it was awkward because it was sold out, it's not sold out, it's sold out, it's not sold out. Yeah, we won't do that this year. That was one of the things we'll fix.
You're not going to trip up. Yeah, and I remember last time there was a registration issue with the pictures or something, that the lines were long, but...
That was one of the biggest downside, and for good reason. Some people had to wait 3 and 4 hours to get their picture. We hired a new company to do it, and I just think they underestimated the whole thing. Even though we told them, we ran tests of it in our office, and they did it, and they demonstrated it, and fine. But it's one thing to demonstrate it on 10 people in our office, and okay, that took how long? Fine, I think it's all going to work, to now line up 1,300 people. So there was talk of, do we kill off the badges with photographs, don't do it anymore, do we take it in-house and do it, or we find another company to do it? So that one has not been resolved yet.
But it will be resolved such that they will not be an issue then this year, I know.
There won't be an issue one way or the other. Well, if there's an issue, it'll be a new issue. It won't. My goal is not to repeat the mistakes. We might make new mistakes, and that's okay. We don't want to create this. We don't want to do the same stupid things twice.
Well, and carrying on and talking about conventions, of course, we have just come off the Essential Magic Conference, this being the third and final year that Luis Matos had done that, and you were one of the speakers and an MC for one of the sessions then as well. And you had been associated with that for all 3 years.
We have. Luis dreamt up this idea and began to talk to people, I think, a little before Magic Live, and then he actually sat on the floor outside the registration table at Magic Live and sat there with Marco Tempest. And I remember walking by looking down and thinking, you know, nothing good is going to come out of this. And then an hour later I walked by and they're still sitting there. Okay, we're pretty much assured that nothing good is going to come out of this. But something really good did come out of that, and that is the Essential Magic Conference. And from the beginning, Magic Magazine has been one of the sponsors of it, because we just like we like the people that are doing it, first and foremost.
Right.
And we like the way they're doing it. I'm a big believer in doing things first class, and they do things first class. And it's like so many other things. If you do something really well in magic, the magic world will follow you. And Luis is a good example. Yes, he's got a lot of friends. But if he was doing it badly, we wouldn't be going back.
That's right.
No, he does it first class and great.
Not only people coming back, but it kept growing year after year. And I think he was pushing over 2,000
this year. It was well over 2,000 this year. And so... he said this is the last one, but he's not saying it's the last thing Essential Magic Conference is going to do. He's saying, I think this is done this format, this way, in this time period. It was a trilogy. He did it.
Yep.
But
now
that's not to say there's something else that they'll do that's totally different or related to. So I would not count the EMC as history just yet by any means.
Well, at the end of this year's conference, of course, they kind of left you with the belief that, you know, there's something else yet to come. And I know some of the people who were, you know, typing on their on the chat line saying, what does that mean? Is something else is going to be coming? Is it going to be doing it again next year? So I think he kind of wasn't tipping his hat, but just kind of...
Right.
So there might be something then in the future with EMC, certainly. Who knows?
Luis and the gang, nobody has revealed that to me. I don't have inside sources. This is just when I hear them talk, this is my sense of that it ain't over yet. But what it is, yet to be. You know what? He's always said he wanted to do 3 of these. That's what he wanted to do. He did them. They became successful. He certainly raised the bar. I mean, he set the bar. He didn't raise it because he set it.
Never been done.
It's never been done. And what I really liked was it was set at such a high standard that, hey, it's a challenge.
Yep.
You know, it's a challenge to top it. And you know what? That's great. We need more of that.
Well, they're using the new technology, you know, that something that... Again, we talked about this before. I'd suggested that in Magic, in a column I had in the convention column some years ago, about having a cyber convention, but at the time they really didn't have that kind of streaming opportunity. But even now, you know, like the Skyping they were trying to do with Darren Brown and with Teller just didn't quite work this time, and so there's some things I think in the future could be tweaked.
And one thing about that you should know is that that's a two-part thing. I mean, they can have the most sophisticated stuff there in Portugal.
Yeah.
But if the other connection is, well, this is my phone or something, or in a bad scenario, they have no control over that. So that can get, that's just dicey. That's just tricky.
Yeah, it's as strong as the weakest link,
basically. Yeah, it is, basically,
Well, my main question about this has to do with just the intimidation factor of going into this. Now, you and I talked about this. I just wanted to hear you kind of restate that again when you kind of look around the room and see the power, you know, each year of the performers.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute amazing group of people that could be and can be very intimidating. Not that they're doing anything to do that. They're not at all. But when you stand there waiting to go on and you look around the room and you say, let's see, that guy knows more than I do, that guy's much smarter than I am, that guy has more experience than I do, bam, 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 and you go around these 32 other people, yeah, sure, it can be very intimidating. For me, I don't feel like I'm talking to that room at all when I'm doing my talks, because my talks are general information in bullet
things
point form, things to think about, and these guys in that room, I just don't feel it is for them. So I'm talking to the people at home. I'm talking to the registrants. And also, I'm working with a teleprompter and a single camera, and they're shooting some other stuff, but I'm really focusing right there. So to hold up that intimidation, hold it out.
Because I think Tina was saying, Tina Leonard, this was her first year on being on there, and she kind of felt a little intimidated, although it didn't look like it. Any of the performers, any of the presenters, I should say, they all were professional. They looked calm. They didn't look like that there was any problem, worry or...
Well, fear does that, you know. You have to.
So.
But Tina did a great job. She told a wonderful
job.
Story. She told a great story and introduced a lot of points into the story.
Right.
And Tina was very prepared. I should be so prepared.
You were. I thought so. You know, the things to think about that you were talking about, okay, number 29, then you go back to 17, okay, now number 64 or whatever, that you, it's not like a progressive number of things that you had pointed out, as if, again, you were continuing from past years. Was that kind of...
That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
So I thought, originally I wasn't going to do that this time, but then it's the last one, supposedly, and so I thought, hey, I should just finish this up, and then I can take that mass and maybe do something else. We're talking about using it somehow in the magazine or somewhere on the web or some other way.
How many things to think about were there in total?
Well, I think there were somewhere near 60 in total.
And did you really get to that number, or did you actually reach?
You know what? This time, I didn't do this last time. This time I put them all in numerical order.
Okay.
And I looked at them and realized, I have 228s. I have 236s. I have two. What am I, a moron or something? I can't even count. And so I will renumber those. I actually, right now, I think I made it 28A and 28B. But when we use this some other way, and I've done this as a lecture. I did the first part for Magic and Meaning last year, and I think I'm doing the second part this year. And it's more fun. It absolutely is more fun to do it live than it is. And it's longer. I took an 18-minute talk, and I did it at Magic and Meaning. It was 30 minutes. I couldn't get to everything because you have the interaction.
Yes.
And you haven't missed all of that.
Well, I thought that you had published some of these thoughts, at least, in Magic Magazine. Didn't you the first year?
Well, I talked about how it all got started at a Lance Burton luncheon at a World Magic Seminar when the question was posed to the professionals in the room, what single piece of advice would you offer an up-and-coming
That's
magician?
What it was, yes.
And so I called some of the pros in the room, I should say, and asked them, what would you have answered if they'd called upon you? So I started, and I used that as a column one time. And then when it was time to do the first EMC, I took that column and I decided, well, let's expand on this thought. What could we be thinking about a little bit? That sort of began me with a file of things to think about, and I started throwing things in this file. And the first talk was basically just an exploration of that file. So no, the entire files and all those pieces have never been put together, and so maybe that's a good thing to do. I wouldn't mind doing it a little more lecturing. I like talking about this stuff, and why not?
Right. I don't think that all lectures have to be just trick, explanations, everything. I think there's a lot of information in presentation, character development, and theory that people need to know and need to hear. It's a matter of trying to market that. You know, as someone who books lectures on lecture tours, I know that a lot of the clubs are saying, you know, we don't need more card guys. You know, give us something different. Okay, well, how about a mentalist? You know, well, maybe a kid show magician or somebody. You know,
now. Well, the whole. I mean, the whole business format is trick, trick, trick.
Yes.
Sell, sell, sell.
Mm-hmm.
And so now to have some conversations about other things.
This convention, going back to Abbott's, was exactly what we're talking about. Because with Tina, with Mac, and Mike Finney, all talking about their lives, their presentation, I think that among the three of them, they probably taught a total of 6 tricks, maybe.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of tricks.
Right, but it was a matter of, here's who I am, here's how I develop my character, here's how that it might work for you.
Sure, you're right. But yeah, it was an interesting selection of talks here because you had Gabe Ferreira, you had Adele talking about history, and Mike Finney talks a lot about his personal, you know, experiences to hear plus a couple tricks. So,
right.
Hey, maybe there's a wave coming of.
Well, I certainly hope so. I think that this hopefully we might set a bar. You know, again that. As far as tricks go, I mean, we had several dealers. I mean, not just with Abbott's, but the guys always in the streets who are selling, you know, stuff. And so you can get all the thumb tips that you need, you know, to put on your toes in every place, you know. So I think what these guys were teaching in their lectures, again, was important stuff. Maybe this might be something in the future.
What we miss here is that no matter what you're talking about, whether you're talking to scientists or you're talking to magicians, the reason the trick lectures go well is because they're fun, and it's fun to see new tricks.
Sure.
So if you're going to do more of a theory lecture, a history lecture, you got to make it fun. Got to find a way to make it fun. Got to find a way to keep people on their toes while they're listening. Bottom line, something I heard a million years ago, if you can hold their attention, your message will be heard. So Mike Finney telling his stories is holding our attention.
He really did.
And the message gets across and the tricks get thrown in. It's all fine. So I think that's what we need. It's not that we need to take the theory and the non-trick lectures or the limited trick lectures and make them fun.
And it was a lot like his on-stage persona. In other words, it seems that you get to know Michael, and it's like, I'm not surprised, because that's the way he is, you know, and he is on stage the way he is off stage.
Well,
to a degree.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, to a degree, because Michael has an extremely strong moral compass. He feels and he has emotion for people and he wants to help people.
Yes.
And that's what his life is about.
But that does come across on stage when he helps people up on stage and, you know, the way he handles volunteers.
He handles them, but there's that whole gruff side of him.
Well, yes. That, okay.
And in life, nope, that's the act. And he's.
I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, he's very soft and he's a tender individual. You know, some people might not expect that.
Yeah, that's true. Well, okay, I think that now as the truck kind of passes by here, that start to wrap up.
You leave all this stuff in here, all these truck sounds and everything?
Because it really gives the authenticity, doesn't it?
You
can smell the exhaust even, you see.
So you could get like web aroma or something here.
That's because I maybe hadn't bathed.
Okay.
So, since it is called the magic word, let me ask you, what is your magic word? I may have asked you this. No, what? I don't think I did before. What is your magic word? Not necessarily like abracadabra or whatever.
When you say a single word?
It may be a phrase. It could be a credo, something you live by, something that you recommend, something that is important to San Allen. What is it that would be your magic word or phrase or words?
Honesty.
I love it. That's good.
And I mean, honesty to yourself. You know, be honest with yourself. Be honest with people around you. Be honest with your art.
Perfect. Perfect way to end it. You're getting close to midnight, I guess it is. Holy cow, it's past midnight. It's now into the next day. We're into day 5 already. I guess. Thank you very much. That was Stan Allen. Me too. That's it. Scotty out. Well, as dawn starts to wean its way here into day 5 of Abbott's get-together, we kind of started our interview session here at the Magic Word with Al the Only, so I got Al back again. Hey, Al.
Hi, everybody. Hey, Scott.
Hey, we're back here at the Legion Hall, and also Don Weiberg. Hey, Don.
Hi, Scott. How are you? Wait till I'm wading through a pile of playing cards that are littering the streets and the sidewalks here.
The street of cards.
Yes.
Isn't that? Yes. And so we're out in front of the Legion with, wading amongst the cards.
Oh, excuse me, if I may interrupt. Remember remember the man, the magnet man?
Yes.
He's back. In fact, he's stuck to the railing over there.
For real.
He can't get away.
Mr. Magnet Man.
How you doing, my friend?
Fine. How are you?
Good to see you. Good to see you.
Come away.
Good to see you. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, hi, how are you?
Good to see you.
We thought you were stuck to the railing.
Stuck to the railing.
So as far as the convention goes, that what do you think this year? I mean, this is the 75th, and you've been...
This is number 39 for me.
Yeah, you had some expectations, and how do you think the shows went? And
no expectations, a lot of pleasant surprises, a lot of old faces that came in just for this year. I'd say just one weeknight of shows and three nights of stellar shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, very much so.
The lectures probably weren't as well accepted by most because everybody wants to learn card tricks. This year, the lectures were more historically based. We had the...
Character-driven.
Yeah, we had Gabe Fajuri talking about the history of Percy moving here. Then we had the lady who was the moth in the Harry Blackstone Senior Show. And there were no tricks talked about.
Right.
Even listening to Michael Finney and Matt King, excuse me, just
and
stories.
Tina,
pardon me?
And
I didn't make it to
okay.
Tina, so I
had no tricks in that either.
Yeah, so as far as lectures for tricks, you know, there were probably six tricks total in the lectures I went to, and most people want at least that many out of one.
Yes.
But it really rounded out the week because everybody was reminded why we're here. Yeah. It's really not about the tricks.
Yeah.
It's about the people.
That's true.
I was most impressed with several of the lectures in spite of, I don't need to know no more tricks.
Yeah.
Michael Finney just touches my heart. He is such a genuinely sincere individual. His effort to raise money for the foundation, which provides surgery for young people, young kids that need it. I tear up whenever I hear him get into that. But
he gets emotional also.
Oh,
you
know. He did. He broke down once or twice. But I could listen to him all day because he's got such a message that is well worth listening to.
Right.
And I think most people appreciated it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really complaining.
No.
But I'm sure there might be a few.
Yeah.
If it's not a magic trick lecture, it's not a lecture.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are the people who've been here for 75 years, maybe.
Only one person's been here all 75 years.
Just the one lady. That's right. Miriam? Yeah.
Miriam,
or who was her
name? Marilyn Merrill. Marilyn Merrill.
Say that three times.
I can't. Yeah. She was Harry Jr.'s older sister, kind of. She was a few years older than Harry Jr.
Yeah.
So kind of like a playmate. And then she was Bellamy Blackstone's nanny for a little while.
Oh, that's interesting.
But she's been to all 75 get-togethers.
That was pretty fantastic. Yeah, we're, you know, in the next few years, it's kind of like World War I vets.
Mm-hmm.
Getting fewer and fewer every day,
right.
Literally, you know, kind of a thing. Well, the weather's been really spectacular, and this evening we had the threat of rain and thunder and everything. And
Huge thunder.
They said that we may even have to evacuate the auditorium and line up over in the hallway, you know, if a tornado alert came up. But
I was thinking about that. I was here the year we had torrential rain and thunder when George Johnson was on stage.
Yeah.
And just handled the evening in such professionalism, where he finally just got down on his hands and knees and said, "Look, dear Lord, we got a show to finish."
And they did.
And we did.
He answered their
prayer. There we did have one big surprise for everybody out there. I've been walking around talking about where were you when the lights went out in Georgia. We had a total blackout in the city of Colon last night.
That's right. You texted me on that. I was up this morning.
You were in Sturgis, so I was curious how far this thing had spread. We had just walked out of the Legion at 1:45 a.m., and the streetlights flickered and then went off. So I thought, I don't know what I thought, but then all of a sudden it was like poof, and the entire city went black.
Yeah.
And somebody was leading people around in the Legion using a fire wallet.
Several delights made.
Yeah.
Cell phones.
So that was a special bonus treat that I don't think the Bordners had planned. And nobody really knows what happened if a squirrel got fried at a transformer or.
Well, it must have gotten back on then.
Yeah. So that was a surprise.
And then Franz Ferrari.
Huge surprise. Franz actually flew from. India.
Wow.
Just to do 5 minutes on stage and say hi.
Amazing. Seriously, he did?
Yes, absolutely. And he's flying right back on Wednesday.
So he's going to spend a couple of days at his Michigan cottage.
Wait, stop. Here it is. Something just came through on the Colon News. The power outage was due to the hamster slipping off the wheel.
This just in.
Well, there have been a few people that have fallen off the cart this week.
Congratulations, Dana.
Thank you. What's the going rate these on eBay now?
Depends if you can get your name off without too many scratches.
Well, there's no name on it, so.
All right.
You want to be the manager? You want
to? I'd love to be.
This is Dana Daniels. We're doing a podcast over here. So, Dana, congratulations. Was the Bill Baird? Or what was it?
Bill Baird. No, it's
Senator
the
Crandall. Senator Crandall
Clark,
comedy.
The Clark Senator Crandall, comedy excellence award.
It's a very big deal. That's congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it was a great show, of course, then too.
It was fun, and it's an honor because I mean they had some heavy hitter guys here. You know, Matt King and Michael Finney and Tom Mulica. I mean, it's like I feel they made a mistake. So I don't know. We can cut it in fours, maybe. I don't know.
You did a great job over there.
Yeah, I'll give it to the bird. That's right. It goes to Luigi.
How did you, Luigi won number one.
This is Luigi number two.
I know that, but I guess you can kind of say, you know, got this for you.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. We got,
in memoriam.
This is for
in
memoriam for Luigi one. Yeah.
When you did, anytime you say number two,
that is true. I didn't think about that.
When you developed the no-show show, how long have you been doing that? Like about 5 years now?
No, I've been doing it, I originally created it for Disney back in 1995.
Oh, gosh.
And it was called The Variety Show.
Yeah.
And then, and we
I
did
should it. Have had the award. He stole it from me. He stole it from
quiet,
me.
Quiet, stylist.
Kerry Pollack, by the way.
This was in 95.
Yeah, we did it at Disney for 8 years in the Golden Horseshoe. And then after that, a few years later, I decided to bring it back. I kind of rewrote it and retitled it and changed the characters around a little bit. And then booked it at the Magic Castle.
Yep.
We did it there and we called it the No Show. And then I've been shopping it around theaters and different things like that. And we have a lot of fun with it.
Have you been on the road with it a lot here?
Not so much the road. I've been doing most of it in local theaters around L.A. and Orange County, where I live, and a few theaters out of town with some magic conventions and stuff like that.
Right.
But just, I'm looking for...
Have you got an agent that's working for you?
No, I don't. In fact, I'm going to probably start looking for someone, because I'm not really familiar with the theater market.
Because
I mostly do corporate work, and so I'm not, it's a whole different thing, and I'm finding that out.
Is that the direction you'd rather go?
I'd rather do some theaters,
rather than doing the corporate.
No, I want to do the corporate because the corporate pay really well.
Yes.
Yeah. And the market's sort of bouncing back a little bit on that.
Yeah.
So, but I enjoy the theater and I don't know if the no show would work in the corporate world or not.
You think it would work pretty well on a cruise ship?
Oh, I definitely think it would work on a cruise ship.
Would you want to do it there?
I would probably try. It had to be the right situation. Yeah, I'd be up for it. But the thing is, that would be like probably the only thing we could do.
Because once you're watching
the show.
Okay, number two, what's the next one? Yeah.
Right. And they kind of want you to do more than one
show.
That's
right. Got to do a couple of different things. Well, that's great.
It was a very good show.
Yeah, Sandy Marshall produced the shows. Yeah, he produced Max's show on Broadway.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I talked with
send him my way. Okay. DanaDaniels.com.
There we go. Congratulations again.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Take care. Thank you. What is your magic word, by the way? My podcast called The Magic Word. What is your magic word?
Not
necessarily like abracadabra. I mean your credo. What is your...
It's a bird.
Perfect. That's it.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Lots of stuff going on. And so that's probably all for now. And that's a wrap from Colon, so to speak. Scotty out.
Hey, Scotty here again with just a quick message. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please register your approval by commenting or clicking in iTunes that you like The Magic Word. Never miss a thing by subscribing now to the RSS feed that will bring each episode straight to your iPhone or computer. You can also download the Magic Word app for the iPhone or iTouch that is updated with every new episode, picture, and video. This free app is not available through the iTunes store, but only through the Magic Word blog. Keep listening, learning, and enjoying. Scotty out.